First case for argument is United States versus Cherry. Miss Lindsay.
May it please the court. My name is Rose Lindsay. I represent the appellant, Mr. Alan Cherry, in this appeal of the denial of his motion to suppress. Your Honors, the district court erred as a matter of law in denying Mr. Cherry's motion to suppress. That error was twofold. First, the district court misinterpreted Joliet Police Department policies regarding towing and inventory search procedures that are applicable to situations when a motorist does not have valid proof of insurance. Second, the district court applied the inevitable discovery doctrine as a result of that misinterpretation of those policies, and therefore denied the suppression of the handgun that was found in the trunk of Mr. Cherry's car. Because policy interpretation was central to the district court's determination, this court's review is plenary. Your Honors, the district court relied on two policies.
But did the judge doubt that the police had smelled the burnt marijuana?
Yes. The district court suppressed the marijuana that was found based on its determination that the officer's testimony was not credible.
That's not my question. My question is with regard to this specific issue of whether a police officer smelled the marijuana, where did he suggest he didn't believe that?
Your Honor, the record is silent as to that specific fact. The district court focused primarily on the fact that there was a discrepancy between the officer's original testimony about smelling the marijuana and then his subsequent testimony at the hearing where he indicated that he saw the marijuana coming out of the pocket.
Well, that was a different officer, wasn't it? Oh, coming out of the pocket, you mean when he got out of the car?
Yes.
After he was out of the car?
No, when he was actually seated in the driver's seat.
He saw it that time. Then did
he
the other
testified.
Didn't the other officer testify he saw it as he got out of the car?
The officer who was standing outside of the passenger side of the window of the car testified that when he looked in to Mr. Cherry as he was seated in the driver's seat with his flashlight, he testified that he had seen something hanging out of his pant pocket.
Well, that I thought was what the judge was skeptical about, not the burnt marijuana testimony.
The district court did emphasize, however, that there was that discrepancy
in
the testimony.
But where did he suggest he didn't believe the burnt marijuana sniff?
Your Honor, I don't believe he ever specifically addressed
Generally, if not specifically, did he ever mention that? Did he ever suggest that he was skeptical about that particular testimony of an officer?
Ultimately, he just expressed a general lack of belief in the officer's testimony based on...
Where do you see that? I don't see that. I understand the business about the other officer not being able to see, but I don't see where he said anything about this, the burnt marijuana testimony.
Your Honor, that only seemed to come up in the context of the grand jury testimony, where it was initially testified to by the officer that he pulled him, that he had him get out of the car because he smelled marijuana.
But there are two officers that saw it hanging out of his pocket, two different officers.
The
Bates approached the car from the passenger side and testified that from his vantage point he saw sticking out of Cherry's right pocket. Bates further testified that then he gave a signal. And Harris said that that according to Harris, a bag of marijuana was visible in Cherry's pants pocket. The officer searched and seized the marijuana and placed him into custody.
Yes, that is correct. And Then the officers went on to testify that they used signals. They signaled each other to indicate, you know, one indicated to the other, I saw something in the pocket, so you'll need to do a pat-down search. And so that's how that part of it went. The district court, after hearing all the testimony...
They usually do a pat-down search, don't they, when they get someone out of a vehicle? Isn't that their procedure for their own protection, so to see that they aren't armed?
Yes, it is, Your Honor. And in this case, it was as the officers testified, it was as a result of one officer, the officer who was standing near the passenger window, motioning to the other officer,
right,
indicating, I see something.
Right.
And then he recommended that he get him out of the car and proceed to search. And that's when the cannabis was discovered. The district court rejected the testimony of the officer with respect to the cannabis and therefore suppressed the cannabis. So the issue that ultimately was before the district court was the inevitable discovery doctrine applicable here had that cannabis not been discovered unlawfully, as the district court determined. And the district court was required to look to the Joliet Police Department policies and was required to interpret those policies because each side came up with a different interpretation of what that would have required the officers to do.
So what's your interpretation?
Our interpretation, Your Honor, is that the policy governing the Illinois mandatory insurance law governed the situation in Mr. Cherry's case. This policy creates a clear distinction between drivers who are uninsured and not legally parked at the time of their stop, who either have a valid driver's license at the time or do not. Mr. Cherry possessed a valid driver's license at the time of his stop, and the language in the pertinent policy states that for drivers with a valid license, they can request that the officer notify a tow company on their behalf to allow them to move their car so that it's no longer illegally parked. The language is very different for drivers who do not possess a valid license at the time. For those drivers, the language is clear. It says, if, however, the driver does not have a valid driver's license, the member, in other words, the officer, must tow and impound the vehicle. So only where a driver does not have a valid license does the policy require that the officer tow and take legal possession of the automobile, which therefore would result in an inventory search and therefore a search of the trunk of the vehicle. Mr. Cherry did not fall into that category of drivers who did not possess a valid license. He did possess a valid license but was unable to produce proof of insurance. And therefore, there was no legal justification for the officers to take possession of his car and conduct what the government would say would be a mandatory inventory search. Because if, to the contrary, if he had not possessed a valid driver's license, he would be in violation of an additional law. For example, he would be subject to possibly a misdemeanor or even a felony if he had reoffended multiple times. But in this case, Mr. Cherry did not have that situation where he was in violation of a licensing law. He was simply in violation of the Illinois mandatory insurance law, and as a result, the Joliet Police Department policy governing that law and the violation of that law governed his situation.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Lindsay.
Thank you very much, Your Honor.
Ms. Schneider?
Thank you, Your Honor, and may it please the Court. The district court did not clearly err by finding that the defendant's illegally possessed handgun would inevitably have been discovered by a mandatory inventory search. Two facts compelled the conclusion that the search of the defendant's truck was inevitable. The first fact was that the defendant's car was parked illegally alongside an interstate highway, posing a safety hazard. Therefore, the car had to be moved. The second fact is that the defendant lacked proof of insurance as required by Illinois state law. That meant that neither the officers nor the defendant could lawfully drive the car to a safe location. Under those circumstances, the officers had no choice but to tow the car, and as the standardized policies make clear, when they tow a car in those circumstances, an inventory must
be... But you haven't responded to Ms. Waters' point. I mean, Ms. Lindsay's point, sorry. So doesn't the policy require that it be towed to his home?
There's nothing in the record that I'm aware of, Your Honor, that
suggests... It's not a matter of the record. It's a matter of what does the policy say? I thought what she was saying was if you have a valid driver's license, then it's towed, you know, by a private company to your home, not to the police station.
What policy 17.3 says is that whenever a tow occurs on the authority of an officer, an inventory search necessarily follows. And in this case...
That's not my question. Doesn't it get towed? Isn't it supposed to get towed to his home?
It's not clear to where the tow...
I don't understand. Why isn't it clear? I thought it stated clearly that if you have the valid license, it gets towed home.
All that the policy says, and this is at 1718, Section 5, is that the tower or that the defendant can notify a tow company of his choice for the towing. There's nothing that indicates that it would be towed to his home, as opposed to an impound lot where he would have to provide money, for example, to release the car. This provision deals with the situation where the car is parked in a situation where either can be safely left or if it's more convenient for the defendant.
But what is it to suggest that if he can use the private towing service, why can't he have it towed home?
Well, he may be able to have it towed home, Your Honor.
But then there's no rationale for an inventory search.
But if the towing is occurring on the command of the officer...
No, it doesn't make any sense. That's not what an inventory search is about. Inventory search is about protecting the property of the owner of the car and protecting the police from being accused of having, you know, stolen or damaged the property or the car. If the car is towed home by a private towing service, there's no reason for an inventory search.
Liability.
You don't go do an inventory search when the car is parked in the owner's garage.
No, in fact, Your Honor, the tow occurs before the inventory occurs before the tow occurs. If it's the case that the car is parked legally...
If the car is towed by a private service at the request of the owner and it's towed to his home, what earthly reason is there for an inventory search?
The reason for the inventory search is that liability could attach to the police because it is their order that's causing the tow
in the first place. I don't understand. What liability? Liability for what?
If the car is parked lawfully, the
police order this person to get the car towed. So he calls up a towing company, and the towing company comes and tows it to his home. Now, in those circumstances, what is the reason for an inventory search?
The reason for an inventory search is that the tow is only occurring because the officer owes it.
No, that's not a reason. That's not a reason. You have to give a reason that's related to the rationale for the inventory search exception to, you know, probable cause and warrant requirements.
A second rationale, Your Honor, would be that having a rule like expressed at 17.3, which is a clear, bright line rule as to when inventory search...
It's equally bright line to say that if the car is towed home rather than to a police lot, if it remains in the custody of the owner, there's no rationale for an inventory search.
Even if that might be an equally reasonable rule, the court's law...
No. You don't understand. This is the Fourth Amendment. There has to be a reason for not requiring probable cause or a warrant. And if you read the inventory search cases, they explain it's entirely reasonable for the police to search the car if it's going to be towed, you know, out of the owner's custody. If it's going to remain in his custody, that rationale disappears.
And, Your Honor, there's nothing to indicate that it's remaining within his custody under these circumstances, because the rationale for the
tow... But isn't he entitled to have it towed home? Where in these policies does it suggest that when he calls a private towing service, it's going to be towed to a police lot?
I don't believe it suggests that in the policies, Your Honor. And the government's point to the court is that the towing is occurring not simply because the car is uninsured, but because it's posing a safety hazard.
It doesn't matter why it's being towed. It's where it's being towed. That's what's critical.
And there's nothing that I'm aware of in the policy suggesting the destination of the tow.
Counsel, maybe you can answer this. 6.2 of that same statute reads, if the vehicle is towed, an offense report, comma, and a vehicle inventory and tow report are required.
That's correct, Your Honor. And a fact that the district court did rely upon was actually the inventory tow form.
And did the district court rely on that language, 6.2, that I have just read to you?
I don't believe it relied upon the 6.2 language, Your Honor, but it did indicate the inventory.
Pardon me?
I don't believe that it relied or cited to the 6.2 language, but it did indicate that the inventory tow form suggests that even when an individual designates their own tow company, that the inventory search occurs.
That's not in 5.2B,
6.2,
right?
6.2.
Right.
But if the vehicle is towed, an offense report and a vehicle inventory and tow report are required.
That's correct, Your Honor.
But look at 5.2B, right? It says, if the driver does not have a valid driver's license, then the vehicle is impounded. The preceding sentence indicates there's no impounding. It's only impounded if he doesn't have a valid license.
Your Honor, I would suggest that it's not clear that the first sentence even applies to cases in which the defendant's car is unlawfully parked.
It's unlawfully parked because the police stopped it, right?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Well, how can they bootstrap their forcing an illegal parking into a right to impound?
Well, they did not force illegally the parking. The parking was pursuant to an entirely valid traffic stop.
Yes, but the point is they caused that. He didn't want to park illegally. He's stopped. He's forced to park illegally. I'm not saying the police are acting improperly, but you can see the bootstrapping. They're responsible for the illegal parking, and then they use that to impound the car.
Well, that's correct, Your Honor, but the defendant's responsible for not having proof of insurance that in any other case would allow him lawfully to drive off.
Okay.
If this was a routine traffic stop and the defendant was pulled over for a speeding violation,
look how it reads. It says, cause the vehicle to be left legally parked or, at the request of the operator, notify a tow company of the operator's choice. The operator has a valid driver's license. That means if it's not legally parked, he has the option to notify a tow company. He has the option to have his own tow company take the car away. And there's no reference to impounding when that happens.
There's none in the language that Your Honor has cited.
Counsel, could you tell me why apparently before Judge Shader abandoned this idea of smelling marijuana?
I can't, Your Honor. It would certainly be the case that the officer's smelling of marijuana could have constituted probable cause.
Well, I know, because Judge Shader said, and if you're telling me somehow to disregard it, speaking to government counsel, I don't think I can disregard it. That is the smelling of the marijuana. I don't understand what's going on in that hearing.
Your Honor, when the judge concludes with his determination that the marijuana will be suppressed, one thing he does mention is that the marijuana is not particularly important to what's been charged in the indictment, which is the possession of these handguns. And he indicates that he has sufficient doubts about the officer's testimony because
not of that officer, though, the other officer.
That's right, Your Honor.
But you had an officer who smelled marijuana. Judge Shader recognized he couldn't disregard that. That officer is not discredited. Judge Shader doesn't find him not believable, but it just falls away, and that whole basis for the search falls out. I mean, you don't pursue it.
No, it was not pursued in the district court, Your Honor.
All right.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Schneider.
Thank you, Judge.
Ms. Lindsay, how much time does she have? 1 minute? Do you have anything further?
Just two brief points on rebuttal, Your Honors. Mr. Cherry's car was illegally parked, but Section 5.2 does provide an option as to who would conduct the tow in the situation based on whether a valid driver's license was possessed or not.
Well, what about Judge Coffey's question about Section 6, which says if the vehicle is towed, a vehicle inventory report is required?
Based on this section, it does not appear that these apply to the situation in Mr. Cherry's case, because it provides vehicles will be towed only under the following circumstances. None of these apply.
Those A, B, C are the only circumstances to which this impounding requirement is stated?
These are the only circumstances that the Illinois mandatory insurance policy indicates.
Well, except that the law, it's set forth right there. Section 6.2, it's pretty clear to me. If the vehicle is towed, comma, an offense report, comma, and a vehicle inventory and tow report are required. It's pretty obvious that what the intent of that is, that something could be taken by the individual towing the vehicle or conveying it. And in that instance, because the police department caused the arrest, caused the car to be stopped, caused it to be towed, they could be responsible. And that's why the inventory is done.
Your Honor, I believe 6.2 also contemplates a situation in which if, for example, the driver has a valid license and requests that a particular tow company is contacted by the officer, because
that is not incorporated in that section, though. It's written by itself. It's a separate section.
Wasn't the search before the tow?
Yes, it was, Your Honor. It was conducted before the tow.
That's when it would have to be done, so that they know what items are in the car, so if they are taken by the person towing it.
Precisely. The tow sheet, Your Honors, actually may reflect as well the possibility that the driver can request a tow, and at the bottom of that tow sheet it can be noted by the officer that a tow company was contacted, but it doesn't necessarily require that an inventory search be conducted.
Then they're not following Section 6.2.
Your Honor,
And how do you know that they didn't follow it?
I suppose we can't know that, Your Honor.
I don't think you can either.
I believe that we need to look to the enforcement procedure under Policy 5.2, where it clearly creates two different situations.
6.2 then is just some extra printing exercise, you're saying?
I don't think so, Your Honor. Well, I think that's contemplating.
Okay, but how do you put them together? Because 6.1 says vehicles will be towed only under the following circumstance. That's your argument, that none of these circumstances were present. But 5 makes clear that another situation under which there must be a tow is where, you know, there's no insurance, no proof of insurance. So how do these two fit together?
It appears that 6.2 could be reconciled with 5.2 if 6.2 is referring to a situation with a driver without a valid driver's license. I believe
Why does 6.1 say vehicles will be towed only under the following circumstances when we know from 5 that there's another circumstances under which vehicles are towed, namely where there's no proof of insurance?
don't know if the title to subsection 6 is any help at all. Again, this is the exercise the district court was attempting to engage in interpreting these policies, and there are uncertainties here. I recognize that, Your Honors. The district court ultimately did not look to Section 6.2, looked at the language of Section 5.2 as well as another policy that the government has relied on. And based on the district court's interpretation of putting those two together, the district court ultimately came up with an interpretation that regardless of the status of the driver and his driver's license, an inventory search would have been conducted. Even, for example, in any situation where a driver asks for a tow, in any situation, the district court's interpretation was so broad that it leads to illogical results.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Your Honors.
And you were appointed? Were you? Or?
Yes.
Or you're a defendant? Yeah, okay. Well, we thank you very much for your efforts on behalf of your client. Thank Mr. Schneider.